Welcome in to episode 77 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm sure it's a bingo number. I'm Louise, and today I've got a designer alley with Hotter Than. I've got the swap section, the Caithness segment, where you need your Viking hats again, a new section announced, and a me section. No drams this week. Sorry, all you lovely people that have tuned in, especially for it. No. My husband is training again. He's got the Cooksville tournament coming up on the end of May. He's got the May 10k run at the middle of May, so I have decided for him that we're not doing any drams until after those events. So, sorry. Actually, the one good thing about having no drams is you can listen to this at any time of the day and not feel the need to have whiskey in your hand at the same time. So I could be a morning podcast today. I sponsor this from my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast. So please get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week. First, I am going to dedicate this to Boston. Anyone affected by the bombs at the end of the marathon, I do send you my love. I was writing the podcast when the news appeared on Twitter, and my thoughts went immediately to YOK2, whom thankfully tweeted out along with Boston Jane that they were okay, and I got my followers to follow YOK2 home, because she had to walk home, and it must have been terrifying. So I thought, well, even if she doesn't read them now, we'll tweet her home. And we did, so thank you to Twitter followers, some of you who do actually listen to the podcast. I was humbled by your response, and we feel that we can't do anything over here, and it's your first instinct is to help. And there was a lovely quote from the guy Fred Rogers. He's more American than I know, but it was his mum told him, when something bad happens, look for the helpers, because there's always somebody looking to help. But my prayers are with everybody, because what's the need, really? That parent did not deserve it, neither did the other two. And for the journey, for everybody else, our prayers are with you. They're not alone. Now, I'm going to pull you back. Sad, somber subject, but necessary to talk about. But we're going to go into designer alley. So get your fancy designer shoes on, and your fancy designer handbags that you've made.
Designer alley.
This episode has the very lovely Hotter Than featured in designer alley. Katie Swift has been one of my listeners for quite a while, and I consider her worthy of the phrase lovely listener. I mean, you're all lovely listeners to me, but she often messages me with kind of newsy news messages, and I feel we have some stuff in common. And then she asked if I'd seen The Knitter last year with designers to look out for, and well, no, I hadn't. For some reason or other, because I did go looking for it, Caithness doesn't seem to stock The Knitter anywhere just now. It's The Knitter magazine, and I don't have a subscription for it, so I didn't manage to track it down. And then she said she was in it. Then I realised that she was actually a bona fide designer. Oops. So stupendous on both our parts. And without further ado, here is her interview. Question 1. I think you have lovely taste. Can you tell me where, who, what you get your inspiration from? She said, bless you. Oh. She says, I get my inspiration from the most unlikely places. My brain looks for patterns, that's what makes me happy, so it's an automatic process in my head. The other day I saw an email about how Japanese children learn multiplication. Oh, I saw that too. Ah, now she says, now to me that's a cable pattern. My husband was absolutely fascinated by this, and he was showing my Aunt Aileen, who used to be a teacher back in her day, and she was fascinated too, so it must be a really cool thing for people that like maths. That's not me. Moving on. She's put the YouTube video as well, the link. And she said, my Beyond the Fat Lady series came from listening to the Harry Potter books on audio, and on hearing the passwords wondered, what sort of sock would Caput Draconis be? I tend to respond to words. They are what makes my imagination wander, but sometimes I'll see something, as Matthew Bourne's Sleeping Beauty, that just makes my brain fizz. I love all the different answers that they give. Isn't that just wonderful? Question 2, I asked, why do you design? She answered, partly because that's my job now. I'm a freelance knitwear designer, so I design samples for the studio I work for. Partly I design because I like to make patterns. There isn't enough space in my head for them all. I'm sure there is. So, I have to write them down. Keep writing, keep writing. Partly because knitting is how I draw. Wow. Now, I like that idea. I can convey an idea with pen and pencil, but I much prefer to draw with yarn. The weight is the hardest of the pencil, and the stitch combination, twists, etc. are the movements across the page. Well, that's just fantastic. She says, when I was at uni, I had to do print element in my first year, and I really struggled. My tutor was great, sat me down and simply told me, you think in 3D, print is 2D, which is why you struggle, because essentially print is flat shapes, and that's odd in your brain. But knit and surface design is 3D, which is why it comes more naturally to you. So I have a 3D brain, and that's how you see the world and problem solve. It's just a way of expressing an idea. I didn't know that we had 2D and 3D brains. Well, I'm going to have to go and think about what mine is now. But I love the fact that the tutor knew and knew how her brain worked. Right, answers on a postcard. Have you got a 2D or a 3D brain? And are you sitting with your fancy glasses on? Pause for effect. Question 3. Can you describe the process you go through from idea to finished garment? I.e. do you use a sketchbook, colour wheel, etc.? She said, I'll have an idea for something and I usually start with graph paper. I play about with it, with the stitch combinations I've got in mind, and then usually reject half of them because they either don't work the way I need them to, or they don't fit together properly. The test moves quite quickly from paper to swatches. The swatches may start with one section and then get bigger as other sections are added. Then I find the right yarn. I usually have an idea of what weight I'm after. This will be a sock design, this is going to be a shawl. So then it's finding the right colour. Not just something that shows the stitches, but also has an association with the design idea. I have post-it notes everywhere, even sticky notes on my computer, which are useful. Not just for writing down things and not losing them, but also for drawing ideas. A large piece of paper can be daunting, but a post-it note is a nice swatch size, and you can add or remove other swatches really easily until you start to have a solid idea. That's actually quite true, because how often have you got a piece of paper or material and you're like, I really like this, but I just can't cut into it, just in case I rake it. And then you take the first cut or the first draw, and that's off, you're off. There we go. Brilliant idea. Take it little. Question 4. What's the hardest part of the design process for you? She said, being patient whilst I'm knitting an idea and writing the pattern as I go. I have some amazing understanding test knitters who test patterns for me. Some of the errors they spot just make me cringe. I was clearly thinking about Johnny Depp when I should have been concentrating on that section. Oh, don't worry, everybody makes little mistakes. I try to do better each time and it's still a bit new to me, so it's a skill that will improve with experience. The problem is, I know what I mean in my head, but so often I've found out that's the only place it does make sense. Hands up everybody else who agrees. I know what I meant in my head. Sometimes it's the frustration of the middle bit of designing that can be the problem. I can knit a swatch half a dozen times and just feel it's getting nowhere. I have to leave it alone and do something that's more motivating. That's why I try to keep several things in different stages so that when I do have that middle bit of frustration, I don't get bogged down in it, which can then become a block. I'll work on something different that's working well, or make bread while I'm concentrating on something else. The solution normally presents itself. It's all left brain, right brain trickery. Question 5. I asked, what's the best bit of the design process for you? She said, that's really hard because the obvious answer is when there is a finished object, but quite often the start is quite exciting because it's when I feel that spark of excitement. There is an element of the unknown. There is an idea, but how does that become thing? The middle bit can be frustrating as you work through things and try to get them to fit. But when they do, it just flies and it's very satisfying. It restores your faith in yourself. Yeah, that's a nice answer, isn't it? Question 6. Does the yarn come first or does the pattern come first and then find the yarn to suit it? She said, it's actually touched on this before actually. She said, pattern, definitely. Full stop. Mainly because that's the way my brain works. The pattern tends to tell me what yarn I'll use. I will set out to design a particular thing, i.e. socks, but that just helps me focus on the pattern more. Question 7. Do you mind it when knitters ask you for advice on patterns? she said. Not in the least. Knitting should be a creative process. For me, that is to design the pattern in the first instance, but that doesn't mean the process should stop for anyone else. We all do it. You look at a pattern and look at your stash and think, I don't have X yarn, but I could try it with Y. She's been reading my mind because I bought some fingering weight at Edinburgh and then I have a pattern for a DK weight. Yeah. I love to knit. Sorry, I digress. I'll go back to her. I love to knit clapperty and lace yarn, and I'm sure Kate Gilbert isn't offended. Question 8. If you could design anything for anyone, what would it be? She said. I have two, because I'm greedy. I don't think two's been greedy. She said, as a freelance professional, I'd love to design for Issy Mayak. I love the garment construction and the origami element within the garments. They have to be made in the right sequence, otherwise they never fit together. For my fantasy design, I'd have to say Thomas Heatherwick, who is the product designer that created the Olympic cauldron. Good choices. I love construction and I'd love to knit in construction context. That really appeals to my little 3D brain. Oh, it's why, whilst I'm a freelance knitting designer, it's not my only job description, and I feel that constructed textile technician may be more accurate. Although I'm not sure about technician. It's a work in progress. Question 9. I asked, what are your designer plans for the future? Next patterns, books, publication, fibre events. The world. She said, I'm working through my Beyond the Fat Lady series from Harry Potter, an elemental based on the elements, should be starting soon with Earth, and that socks covered. I've got some shawl patterns that I'm working on at the moment, so hopefully they should be out at some point this year. It all depends on what work allows me time to do. I've got some collaborations coming up. One is with a designer I recently worked with, and another is with my friend who's a stop-motion animator. Cool. It all depends on what I get offered. I just want to create in as many different ways as appeals to me. There will still be studio samples to produce, and I have a list of techniques I want to master this year. I'm partway through it at the moment. Intarsia and double knitting are done. Oh, she must be good. Next is continental knitting and maybe sticking. Sticking's not that hard. Do you know, it's amazing how knitting goes through my sewing machine, so sticking wouldn't be for... Cut. Off we go. I wouldn't mind learning some Estonian techniques either. I'm learning to spin, so hoping I can use that within my construction work. I'm sure there are other things that I need to do this year, but I can't bring them to mind. I'd also like to sell finished garments that I've designed in boutiques, so I'm trying to get samples together for that so I can approach some stores. I think that's everything for now. Oh, she doesn't mention the world. Slightly disappointed there, but that sounds really cool. Now, question 10. Please describe shop in this here designer alley. And she said, hee, how fantastical can this be? Okay. First, it would be a light open space with plenty of natural light. Any lamps would be fitted with daylight bulbs so everyone has comfy eyes. That's a good idea. There is a wall that's covered in cork tiles so people can pin images there. Tear sheets, magazines, photos, quotes, anything that sparks idea. Like a proper real life Pinterest. Yeah. Like old fashioned, the way we used to do it. Along the remaining walls, there's yarn set out in weight groupings, so the sweater knitters hang out in one place, sock gurus in another, etc. There's also a library of knitting books for knitters to peruse. In my shop, there's no legal problems with copyright, so there's a scanner printer in the corner for people who may want to copy a pattern they can write in and make notes. There's iPads aplenty. In my world, we never run out of things. It's all loaded with drawing programs, Ravelry access, design packages, so everyone can create if the mood takes them. There's also paper, plain lined and graph, pens, felt tips, paints, tissue paper, glue, inks for anyone who wants to play in a more tactile way. I'm romancing glee here. There's lots of squashy sofas, chairs, lamps for people to knit comfortably. And there's a cabana boy who will make tea, coffee and cocktails for anyone who needs refreshment but wants to knit just one more row. Oh, brilliant idea! The problem is, I like the idea of the shop being in an alley, but I also like the idea of the shop being in different locations to help inspire. So my shop will be a cross between the travelling shop in Discworld and the night bus from Harry Potter. Oh, I love you. It will appear near a stranded knitter and then take them to wherever they'd like to go. The beach, a forest, Paris, etc. You can stay for as long as you wish. The shop will be in all locations at once. So it appears to be in a different place to each knitter, even though they're sat on the same sofa. And when it's time to go home, the shop will take you back to your front door. No more problems of not having a local yarn shop or people to knit with. I wish that was true. What a brilliant idea. If I hadn't already chosen the TARDIS, I would have hated you because you would have stolen that. That is so brilliant. Question 11. And finally, the contact details so the listeners can get you at and bye, bye, bye. She says, I'm on Ravelry as Hotter Than. H-O-T-T-E-R-T-H-A-N. And I have a pattern store there. She does. I have a blog, www.katieswiftknit.blogspot.co.uk. That's the dog scratch in the background, sorry. Where I write about my knitting design adventures and talk about my design process. I usually flag new patterns on there too. I also have a website soon, which will have all my professional contact details and images of my work. If anyone uses LinkedIn, I can be found there too under my proper name of Catherine Swift. That's Catherine with a K. I'm resisting Twitter, but I suspect that might not be much longer. I think that there's enough places to find me. Feel free to say hello. I'm reasonably friendly. And she says she's a little offbeat, so you've been warned. But that's not fair to yourself, Katie. You're really lovely. I love getting a message from you, and it's just been an absolute pleasure to have you in my designer alley, so thank you. And she's also been very kind. 50% off code when you go to her shop. Please type in Caithness. And you know how to spell that, don't you? Looks over glasses, says sternly, and spells it for you anyway. It's C-A-I-T-H-N-E-S-S. And you shall get the 50% reduction. How nice is that? But I do love her Harry Potter sock range, and when and if I ever do my socks, I will be making them, because we are on the last book of Harry Potter. And yes, I have read it before and I know what happens, but it's been an adventure. Well, I love Harry Potter. I think I like anything like that. Takes you away from this world, haha, because sometimes you just need to escape. And I'm glad that I've got other people that come escaping with me too in the night bus and the Discworld shop. That was just brilliant. So thank you so much to Katie Swift, Hotter Than on Ravelry. Please do go look up and please do bye bye bye, and certainly go and befriend her because she's really good fun. And if you need a pee stop, it's time for the Daisy Laugh. Hello, section.
Hello.
Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, been with me for forever listeners. I still do appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. So, thank you, and I hope you're enjoying yourselves. You are, aren't you? Now, a Sandy hello to new group members, Time Not Cash, Charmin Lochie, Java Pearl, Katie Kitty J, Lucia Knits, Mad for Mohair, Cherry Baby, KLB, J Bean, Knitting Sloth, Yvonne 15, LK31. And now we have random hellos, because I know there's quite a few of them, but I kind of not have my random hellos. Sarah MM 1984, Canny Cat, N Blackstock, Patty B, and of course Hoxton Handmade. Do you still listen? Hello! I was in the sheep bunker last week. And thank you for some of you putting up iTunes reviews. I've just looked. And how lovely you are. Hotter Than Ange. Fern K. P. Super. And Tracy C. 6611. And that's just the Brits. I didn't quite get onto the American or Canadian ones. But thank you for the iTunes. I do really appreciate that. Because you remembered your iTunes password.
The swap section.
Swap. The swap currently going is a pot holder of any shape or design, knitted, stitched or bought. Up to you. And if you send, say, something local to you, and a nice note at the very least. And I've seen my mum's, who's sending hers to Ali Cott, and I quite like them. I should have made mine now. But mine's are really Scottish with a cape. And I've put in quite a nice package together. So I'm just waiting on something coming in the post, and then they shall be posted to you, lovely Twin Sit Jan, and Sparkle and Spin, who's actually Des Holton of Eat Eager Etsy shop. Remember I mentioned her a wee while ago, she made the fish and chips jumper. Well, if you've not listened to the Twin Sit Designs podcast, please do go give them a wee listen. And friend Dorito the alpaca on Twitter, because he's just as funny as Hoxton's sheep. So, hello to Dorito. I'm not going to give Twin Sit Ellen or Twin Sit Jan a shout out. I'm going to give Dorito the alpaca a shout out, because that's the way my mind rolls today. But the swaps, can you send them out by the end of April, please? Some of them have got them. And if you figure out how to put a photograph up of what you got or you send, that would be good onto Ravelry, so we can all go, oh, look, that's good. We can all drool over all the goodies.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
The me, me, me section. In the Great Scottish Tapestry News, we've just been plugging away, and I updated the blog the other night, and I've still got some more photos to put up from Tuesday. It is at www.keithnesstextileartists.blogspot.com, and you can see Celia's start on the tweed jacket of the wee boy on the tapestry, whom is called James. I thought he was called David, and I don't know where I got that from, but he's called James. I must change it. We decided that he was dressed a little bit posh and would be the minister's son. Celia's using a battlement couching stitch, and she wanted extra help with the colours. Insert Catherine. Valerie has had it a wee home, and she's drawn the side panels, mostly, and we finalised what we wanted after much discussion. Believe me, there is much discussion going on. But we just want it right, and we want all the group members to be happy about what we do. And we've talked about the history of Caithness again, and I was flicking through the Canasby Lace We Forget book again. Fiona, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's brilliant. Ella said that she put brickwork on the Long Croft House, as whitewash had not been invented until after 1851. I've got my eye on school chimneys, because I'm wanting to do the school chimney on the tapestry. And I've driven home looking at chimneys, and had to watch what I was doing because I was too busy looking at chimneys. So, yeah. If you see me stopping throughout the county and taking random photographs up in the air, it's of chimneys, because I'm doing it. We still got loads to do, and it's going hot potato now, i.e. each of us is only getting it 2 or at most 3 days each, and it's passing it around in between the Tuesdays, so we have a schedule set up, and coming Tuesday we're actually getting Dory, one of the stitchers and organisers, up from Edinburgh, so we'll get to meet the other panels in Caithness, there's 2 I believe of half panels, to see what they've gotten done. They've got theirs more done than us. However, we will do it, we will persist, and it's fair coming on. Now, my Svorbel handspun is up for sale still. Nobody's requested it. I should get some photographs so I know you know what I'm talking about and measure it up. It's definitely 800 metres, and it's spun into a chunky, mostly chunky because I spun it, because it's handspun. It's pretty cool looking. And if you want some genuine Caithnesian dark brown Svorbel washed twice, carded and hand-spun by myself, I am offering it for sale for £35 plus the postage, whatever that is, to the first person. And I'll take PayPal. But I would actually like somebody to want to do something with it as opposed to, oh, I'll just buy that and have it mustache, because I could just do that. So please somebody buy it and then, yeah. Now, I had this in last episode and I took it out, but I've put it back in. Other thing, I'm scratching my head here, I'm going to ponder over with you is, now, I was considering how I can get a wee income from crafting. Daisy will be starting full-time school in September, and I'll have more time to do work for the business, and also considering how to get a bit of pin money. I'm not going to go out and get another job because I have a job, and it's just enough that I can buy more crafty supplies to talk about on the podcast or pay for the bigger subscription to Podbean. And it's not that I can't do that for my own wage, because it's a joint venture, but I feel old-fashioned in having to request my pocket money to buy things that sometimes I just don't deem a necessity. I know he doesn't grudge me, but he does sometimes curtail me in my crafty pursuits, such as the red Chaigu lace set needles that I saw at the Edinburgh Yarn Festival that I talked about a couple of episodes back. They're still £60, and to me that's a week's shopping, food shopping. And I already have a set of nitpicks, but then the nitpicks, the joins, and I could use them to talk about on the show. And I took the decision a long time ago not to sponsor this from anyone else. And I am happy to talk about other people's crafty businesses from time to time, but I just don't want the adverts running through my show. That's just my choice, not everybody else's, because everybody else's is different and they all do it differently, but this is just my choice. So I have no cause to whine nor request that you stump up for my crafty endeavours. And then I thought, how can I raise a wee bit of money from this? And I'm thinking about a side Etsy shop. There's quite a few podcasters do this, of they sell their craft alongside and based around the podcast. Like Martine from iMake has a wonderful Etsy shop, and she sells stuff that she makes and she talks about, and it's got a beautiful brand of her own crafty endeavours. And then Paula had some most lovely knit and pipeline bags that were properly printed up, and I thought, well, would you be interested? So this is my market research. What would you want to buy that I could make or sell? Because there's no point me doing it if there's no market. Would you want to buy some stuff that has Caithness Craft Collective stuff branded on it, such as a tote bag or a project bag that I can make, or what else can I make? Now, I can make project bags, leather bookmarks, hand stamped stationery and handmade envelopes and needle felting stuff. So also, if you're an Etsy seller, what's your take on it with the postage increase, and has that made a difference? So this is my market research, i.e. you do your homework, please. I am rambling, haven't I? I've gone off script. Also, I was thinking about my yarn stash, and then I was pleased to see when Paula said hers was about the same size. I might be repeating myself here. I confess, I miss getting the yarn in the post, and I know I have told you to stop with that goodies, but looking at my stash, I still can't justify the presents. But then Greedy Louise pushed Sensible Louise off the shoulder and suggested to do it as review. Because when Look at Dot Yarn, have you been in there recently and bought some art yarn? She's not paying me for that, but I still feel like I should sort of big her up, because she gave me, remember, some art yarn to review, and I made it into a hat for Daisy. And it's the best thing ever, that this hat, it looks brilliant and everybody comments on it still. And she's worn it 2 years, and she loves her hat. And I love her in her hat. So I kind of open it up, if you're, say, a yarn maker or dyer, and you want me to do a review. Is that's not being greedy, because I'm trying not to say, send me free stuff. I want nice post. So I know I'm kind of saying, on one hand, I want to earn money to pay for my crafty endeavours, and on the other hand, I'm saying, send me free stuff. Yes, I think that's probably what I'm saying. But review stuff, that's paying for it with a review. And because there's quite a few of you, like just now, that actually buy things I talk about, which I think's brilliant, then people might actually buy your stuff. So it's called advertisement, I think. Yeah. Anyway, that was just a thought. Oh, right. Because there's so many of you and you do buy things occasionally that I talk about, and let's face it, I'm not putting your arm up your back and saying you have to buy. I just suggest that you do. And thank you for buying the Carnivores album, some of you have. And I was running to them today and I thought I would end with their Lion Tamer tune, because, well, it's pertinent this week. Say no more on that subject. But Greedier Louise seemed happier and she curled up with her cakes then. And poor Sensible Louise, she's lying somewhere in a heap. Now, oh aye, me section. What did I make this week? Well, I've just taken it off because I'm hot. I finished the Piper's Journey shawl by Knitting Pipelines Paula. It's made in Quince and Company's Chickadee in a very light blue colour. In sport weight, and perfect for this shot. It's squishy and warm enough, and light enough too. And I'm well impressed with it. It gives a lovely definition of the border and the garter part. I think the worst part is the last couple of long rows, and it's only 243 stitches that you've got to make to, so it's not that bad. And then you turn it over, and then you do work on the border all the way along these 243 live stitches that are still in your needle. There's plenty of help if you get stuck, and give me a shout because I can point you in the right direction of how to do the border. I will get photos for my project pages soon enough. Because it's been so windy this week, there's no point taking it out. I am plugging away with my Chewbacca from the Star Wars Hairy Jumper for Sandy. That's my son. And I'm using a Surdor Shaggy wool, which is actually intended to be a scarf. But I think it makes a better Chewbacca. I was showing Mum the jumper, and Daisy went away and got the Star Wars noise box that the Bairns have. And pressed the Chewbacca noise when... And I thought, yeah, it's Chewbacca. Once I'd finished my Piper's Journey, I went to my sewing machine and I've made some project bags, and Daisy wanted a pink bag for her Barbie, so I made that too. And I really enjoyed the sewing after a while because I've not been on the sewing machine for quite a while because the weather's been too cold in my craft room, and I started to tidy it up properly as well. And Daisy then came behind me and made me a train, and yes, well, a one little girl whirlwind of mess. She really is, and it's not from the lack of me telling her to tidy up. Lace eye. But, because I love her, I'm going to pick up her pink dragon that I'm crocheting and haven't touched since Christmas, which is from a Lucy Ravenscar Fierce Little Dragon Free pattern. If you're into agarumunumis, can't see it, which are crocheted little critters, or you're into anything Star Wars, or you just fancy a smile, please go look at Lucy's pattern pages because she's got the Star Wars set and Chewbacca is ace. Although if I start them, I'll have to make the lilt. Because there's quite a few, but they're brilliant.
The Caithness section.
Caithness segment. Anne Stoic the Viking has turned into a mid-Atlantic half-Scot, half-American. If any of you lovely listeners know him or his mum, can you get him to get his Scot back on before he makes How to Train Your Dragon 2? Or Stoic just won't be right at all. Now, I think Gerald Butler is ace, and I have watched his career with interest since his How to Be a Rock and Roll Star was on, and back in the day. I didn't realise that's who he was, and in fact, I kind of thought, when I looked at his IDBM listings, I thought, oh, I quite like that, the guy in that. Oh, I quite like the guy in that too. Oh, it's the same guy. So I followed his career with interest, but not enough interest to actually realise that that was him. However, he would be ace fun to have with a blather. Not a dram, because he doesn't drink. But his accent's slightly grated on my nerves. However, I'm sure a week in Paisley would soon sort him out. But he is Stoic, and we're back to the Vikings again. I'm not editing that out. I'm not editing that out. Gerald, you're cool. You're really cool. Just stop speaking like you are. And carry on being cool. Right, I thought it was a subject I could do in one segment. The Vikings, not Gerald Butler. Right, get your longboats out. Because there's a whole Orkney-Inga saga to talk through. I cannot say that. There are loads of books on the Orkney-Inga saga. Why did I put that in the script twice? Oh, for crying out loud, Louise. Anyway, go research that part yourself. I cannot say it, so... Okay. Scooby-Doo ourselves back in time. Doolulu, doolulu, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo. And we're back in Norway when it was ruled by King Harald the Fair-Heeded in about the 8th century or so. He is said, and he went to clear up the naughty Vikings who were plundering and stole and raided the coastlines of the Norse. And then he got fed up with them. He followed them west to Shetland, Orkney, the Hebrides, northern Scotland, and mainland Britain as far down as the Isle of Man. Then one of his followers, Rognvald's son Ivar, was killed, and he gave Rognvald the Orkney and Shetland Islands, who then gave them to Sigurd. And then we have Thorstein the Red, who was son of Olaf the White, and Odd the Deep-Minded, who ganged up which was Odd and Thorsten, and they went plundering into Scotland as far down as the Dornoch Firth. Then he had Thorstein's daughter. She got married to a native Caithnesian chief, Dungadr, whom they think that Duncan's head is named after. So this is how Caithness became Viking, and kind of off from the Picts. So, we now have to scrub off our blue wood, look at your hammers, and start worshipping the Viking gods such as Thor. Now we carry on and check out these names. So we've got Thorfinn Skullsplitter, who has a beer named after him, and he was the Earl of Orkney in Caithness. But he died in his bed in 963 AD, and he left the succession in doubt. Oh, does this not sound like Game of Thrones? But without the White Walkers, no, they're from Halkirk. But without the Mad King, nope, he's from Thurso. But without the Red Witch, no, she's from Wick. I was going to say dragons, but then I thought, nope. We have How to Train Your Dragon Toothless, whom, I must point out, reminds me greatly of my little black dog Quattro. Toothless is black. Quattro is black. Toothless kids only hasn't got any teeth. Quattro's teeth are kind of getting worn down because he's getting old and he likes to chew sticks and stuff. Toothless has a scabby tail. Quattro has lumps of fur off his tail. Toothless has great expressions, loves his boy, and has wings. Quattro has great expression, loves his boy, and, well, the wings is a debatable matter. Richard said, just because we've not seen his wings does not mean he hasn't got them. I just hope he keeps his fire-breathing ways to himself when he's inside. Although, how good would that be when I'm trying to set the fire and just aim Quattro at it? Anyway, I digress. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. It's exactly like Game of Thrones. But I think I'll leave the Viking Game of Thrones until the next Caithness segment, which should probably be next episode. Because I know you're all enthralled to hear what I'm going to slag off Gerard Butler for next. I'm going to have a new section called Whatcha Doing? Aiming it at you, all you listeners. I know this is my podcast in the me section, get your own podcast, but I actually do like to know what you lot are up to. And so if you've got things that you would like to share, it would be nice. And Daisy says this to me all the time, Whatcha Doing? So I'll get her to record it for the segment intro, i.e. when she's awake, because she's not just now. So we've no drams this episode, on account of Mr. Hunt is in training.
Blah, blah, blah
section. Thank you for listening and putting up with me ranting on and etc. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. And my email address is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. And I started putting the list of drams that we've had on there, and there's been quite a few, so I haven't got all of them yet. The music this episode is from the Carnivores again, which is www.carnivores1.bandcamp.com. Thank you for listening and keep up. I tame the beast in my body.